All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. If my guitar starts freaking out and making all sorts of crazy noises, just act like it's not. That's all I'm going to do. Let's stand and worship.
Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. I once was fatherless, a stranger with no home. Your kindness wakened me, wakened me from my sleep. Your love, it beckons me a call to come and come. By grace now I will come. Take this hand, take your hand. And I've lost its power. From the grave you've risen, victoriously. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the light, you are the
victoriously. Sin has So freely. Naomi. Sorry, I like to be comfortable. There seem like a lot more of you when I'm up here. It's, yeah. But anyway, ooh, loud. Okay. I suppose I should start by saying that I completely am appalled by public speaking. I hate it. I get nervous days in advance, and it ruins my schedule for those days. I get like these weird shakes and everything. Like my head will hurt, my throat will get hoarse, all the bad stuff. I hate it. I try and stay away from it when I can. But I was doing one of my personal devotions a few weeks ago, and I came across that passage, Ephesians 5, and it really hit me really hard. And for the past few weeks, God's really been pressing it into me, and basically, he didn't give me a choice to come up and share it, so here I am. Yeah, I kind of need this too. There it is. Paul starts talking to the Ephesians in that passage about how to live their lives, how they should imitate God in everything they do. They should reflect him. He continues on to the things they shouldn't do with sexual immorality and impurity and idolatry. Now, I know that they struggle with these things in that day, and I'm sure that we all can agree that we don't struggle with these things today in the church. But anyway, he continues on, getting more specific with filth and foolishness and crude jokes. Now, I don't know about you guys, everybody has their own thing, but the latter two are big things for me. I'm really bad with joking and foolishness. I can be really dumb at times. And I can't help it a lot of the time, or it seems that way. But I kind of go after laughter. Like, I love to hear people laugh, and so that's what I aim for. And a lot of times I take it too far. And I've realized this really recently, and I've been trying to work on it, but we'll see how that goes. Anyway, Paul continues with that ray of hope that Paul always seems to have after that dark and gloomy part of his letters that talk about all the things they shouldn't do or the things that they've been doing wrong, with that like ray of light. And he says that we were all living in this sin once, but now we have this light of God. This is supposed to shine from us. This is like a beacon coming from us, kind of like the lighthouse on the Mid-Atlantic sign that we're supposed to be like, woo. Anyway, yeah, laugh, it's fine. But anyway, he says our light should be visible. You should be able to see God in everything we do. It should project. People should be able to see us and tell that something's different. They may not know exactly what it is, but it should bring them to question what is different about us. And a lot of the time, I think that we miss that, and people can't tell us apart from anyone else unless they talk to us. I'm guilty of that myself in more ways than I would care to think about. Oh, and in case I didn't say this beforehand, I don't think I did. This is going to be really short. I have this bad habit of underplanning as far as length and talking really fast. But anyway. In Titus 2, Paul is obviously writing to Titus. But anyway, he was explaining to him how to instruct the people to live. He goes into detail for the younger and older men and younger and older women. And how they should conduct themselves and live their lives. And he gets more specific and talks to Titus as an individual and tells him that he should be their model of good works. They should be able to look to him and see Christ. He should show integrity and dignity in everything he does. They should not have a reflection of something other than God. They should be that light. We're all here for a reason, here, like in this place. I don't, like, whether you're a student, a professor, a teacher, a volunteer, we're all here because God has brought us together. He brought us together for a reason. And kind of like our school motto says, we're here to learn to be or to be Christian leaders. And as Christian leaders, we are supposed to be the model of of Christ. We're supposed to be that example, that light, not just to the world, but to Christianity itself, the people in Christianity. They look to leaders like us that come from places like this. This place is supposed to be that example. Now, I realize we aren't perfect. We all fall, like Paul. Like he said, he does things that he wishes that he didn't do. He goes against what he wants in his heart. And sometimes he does things that he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't do things that he wishes that he did. As Christians, we're supposed to live those lives of integrity and purity. And I think being in this place can be a real aid to that. I mean, we have our rules that keep us in check, curfews, all that fun stuff that we don't really enjoy. But it's here to help us be more of that model of purity. And plus the fellowship that you can experience and the training you can receive from teachers and leaders is invaluable. But at the same time, I think that we can become overconfident in being in a place like this. We start to see our location as part of our salvation. We start to see our purity and replace it with the security of being here. And so we start to think that we are holy, or we are what we are supposed to be simply because we are here. I see it myself a lot, and I hate it. I fail every day, and I'm tired of it. I've talked to a lot of you, and I know you feel the same about yourself and seeing it in other people. Not judging. I do it more myself. Yesterday, I was in prayer group with Judson, who is not here, and Jay, who's in the back. I'm going to point you out, Jay. We've been talking about this a lot for the past few weeks, and we all agreed that we weren't being the examples we needed to be, and we weren't light. We were dim at best, as individuals and as a group. And yesterday, we finally decided, and we made a covenant with each other and with God, that we were going to be different. We were going to be a better example. We were going to be brighter light, individually and together. Part of the reason I'm telling you this is because I expect you guys to hold me accountable for that, because it doesn't do any good if I say it to myself and don't mean it otherwise. But I'm done failing willingly. I'm tired of not being that example. I'm sure there are more of you that feel the same way. I can't speak for everybody. But I do want to ask that anybody that feels that way, that wants to be a better example, if they would stand up, if they want to be a brighter light, because I want everybody to see who's willing. Because I want you guys to hold each other accountable. You can look around. I'm going to stand up too. You can look around and see all the people standing up. These people right now are making a covenant to everybody in this room that they are going to be a better example. They're going to be brighter light collectively and individually. Hold each other accountable. Hold me accountable for that. I'll hold you guys accountable. Not in a bad way, but lovingly. But we need to be brighter. And I think we're not a lot of the time. I was reading, you guys can sit down if you want. We're almost done. I told you it was going to be short. But I was reading A.W. Tozer's Pursuit of God recently. And I came across this, and it almost felt like it was words coming right out of my heart, and it was great. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "O God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, that so I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me the grace to rise and follow thee up from this misty lowland where I have wandered so long. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been in a lowland place for a long time, and I don't want it to be there anymore. I want that covenant that I made to God and to all of you to stand, and I expect that it will, and I hope that you guys do the same.